Well, what Elaine forgot and what I forgot was a little slip of paper, as I remember. A little slip of paper almost 8 years ago, about 8 years ago, Elaine was praying about the big house. And she got the floor plan. Say it again. She got up out of the bed in the middle of the night. She got the floor plan. Now, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I'm the construction guy. Hello? You hear what I'm saying by that? I'm the construction guy, and I thought, now what can she figure out? Yeah. Well, I know she didn't. Now, I'm using this, of course, to introduce what our verse of scripture is going to be. And you just might want to turn there in Book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 21. here we were, you know, or actually, to be real honest with you, I was so overwhelmed at that point in time. I'm just being honest with you, that I probably wasn't in a place to hear from God about it. But there was one person who was, and that was Elaine. And so she handed me this piece of paper that she wrote it down on. And of course, you know, she's not been trained in how to put out floor pans, and so it might not have looked very wonderful. She can't draw straight lines. It irritates me when someone draws a crooked line. I'm just being honest with you. Yeah, I don't know if I could still do this, but I could look at a house and tell you if it was off plumb by looking at it. And so crooked things really bother me, you know. So at any rate, here she is. She says, "Oh, the Lord gave me this floor plan." I said, Let me see it. And you know what? It was perfect. There was one issue that we had to change. It was the bathrooms. She had the bathroom on the north wall there to try to keep it as far away from the sanctuary as possible. That's a good thought, you know. And there was no way we could do it without having to reroute all of our plumbing, cut out concrete and all those things. Didn't want to do that, so we inverted it. But that is the floor plan that we are using right now. Yeah. And you know, that really started some things that maybe you've never thought of when it comes to building, when it comes to doing anything in life. If you're smart, you'll listen to the people around you. I said, if you're smart, you'll listen to the people around you. They just may have something that will be a real God thing for you. Amen? Now here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, I want you to notice it says, submit. There's that word, isn't it? Submit one to the other. Submit to one another, I should say, out of reverence for Christ. Submit. Yeah. I was learning how to submit to Elaine. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning because I'm not perfect at it. I'm just not. That's all there is to it. I don't know anybody that is perfect at it. But as we follow the Lord, we get better at it. The concept of submission is used in the scriptures, of course, for a variety of Christian relationships. Paul exhorted all Christians. Everyone say all. All Christians. You know, we automatically think of one submit. Wives, submit to your husband. You know, you've heard that browbeated into women for years. But the truth of the matter is if you are a Christian that loves the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength, you're going to have a humble attitude toward all people. And so that that submission comes into play in every relationship, in both men and women. We're called here to notice that it didn't single out women. For Christians, we're to submit to one another, as one translation puts it, out of reverence for Christ. Our submission is based on Jesus. Okay? Now, Peter exhorted young men to be in submission to those who are older. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. All members of Christ's body are exhorted to obey their leaders and submit to their authority. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Servants are instructed, and it's applicable in our day, to workers. Servants are instructed to submit to their masters. It's in Titus 2 and 9, and Ephesians 6 and 5, and Colossians 3, 22. This applies to serving either Christian or non-Christian people. Children are admonished to obey and submit to their parents. This is right, the Bible says. And it comes with a blessing, that it might be well with you, you know. Yeah? And Christians are also submitted or instructed to submit to other authority figures who are not Christian, particularly those that are in, that are leaders in the government. Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. So the Bible makes it very clear that Christians who are in positions of authority must also function with a submissive attitude. Husbands are to direct love, are directed to love their wives. Husbands do that first. Amen. And the scripture says, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. We can't love like Christ without being servants. Amen? We can't be servants without being submissive. It may sound funny, but this is what Christ did for us when he became flesh and dwelt among us. Submission. Everybody say submission. It's not a dirty word. Yeah. Submission is not a dirty word. Now, I find it funny that we can take this word in a religious setting and people get really angry and mad about it. But if you take it in a secular setting, they're not quite so mad or angry about it. I was just talking with our sister here. She's involved in a play. Do you know, for that play to go off right, everybody has to be doing their part in it. And someone directs it. And someone says, this is what I want you to do. And someone says, okay, that's what I'll do. Right? Now, we don't have a bit of problem with that until some preacher says submit. But that's what submission is all about. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Fathers are to deal sensitively with their... Parents are to deal sensitively with their children. Ephesians 6 and 4, Colossians 3, 21. And this we cannot do without serving them. Amen. Elders and pastors are commissioned to be servants. As leaders, we're to be eager to serve. 1 Peter 5 and 2. We're not to lord it over other Christians, using our position as a means of unjust gains, either financially or even socially. Christian masters are to treat their servants fair and sensitive. You know, this brings something up because I get rather irritated with some people who try to say that slavery was a part of the Bible. Slavery was a part of people who were learning line upon line about the love of Jesus, all right? And so Christian masters were were to treat their servants fairly and sensitively, just as Christ treated them. And in Christ, these people were not only the servants, but they were also to be considered brothers. Brothers. And when they were treated this way, the slavery system in the New Testament eventually disappeared. You want to know why? Because slaveholders saw the social disease. It was incompatible with the love of Christ to rule over another human being. Now, Paul didn't specifically attack slavery per se, but he destroyed it by teaching that masters were to love their slaves as Christ loved them. Amen. And this approach also changed women's marital status in the Roman world. How could a Christian husband treat his wife as inferior when he believed that she was his spiritual equal in Christ? Amen. And so this demonstrates that it's possible to maintain our position of authority, both in the family and the church, and yet still be a servant. Amen. We're talking about submission. Submission. When Christ was on the earth, he said to one of his disciples one day when they were arguing among themselves regarding who's the greatest in the kingdom. And he said in Matthew 20, I'm going to read it to you. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become the greatest must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So being able to submit to one another, no matter what position of authority that we hold, is a concept that that we receive directly from Jesus himself. Yeah. Christianity is unique. Christ came into the world, and with it, he brought a whole new way of functioning in relationships. A whole new way. In the Gentile world, as Jesus called it, there was no such thing as mutual submission. Even acts of obedience and submission became a means to selfish ends. But in Christ, all believers are called to submit one to the other out of reverence for Christ. And of course, Jesus is our example, isn't he? Jesus demonstrated for us when he, the Lord of the universe, became servant to all men, who being in the very nature of God, didn't consider his equality with God something to be grasped. And he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul made it clear that all Christians, even those in authority, are to follow Christ's example. Amen. We're to love as Christ loved. We're to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than themselves. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, in some cases, I remember having a conversation with one of the kids that was irritated at their father and mother. And did you ever think about your mom and dad? Well, no. Well, you ever stop and think about, do you have to work for your food? Do you have to work for the house that you live in? Do you have to, who bought your clothes? And of course, the answer is, well, my mom and dad. And so, who's really being a slave to who? They were saying, my mom and dad treat me like a slave. Who's really being a slave to who? Yeah. Truth is, when they're sleeping, mom and dad's up getting the household ready. Mom and dad's getting ready for work. Mom and dad's going to the bank. Mom and dad's dealing deals that will enable them to live in a nice house, have nice things, have a nice car. Yeah. And so who's serving who? Yeah. Who's serving who? It's the same way in the church. It's the same way in the church. Exactly the same way in the church. Who's seated here? Who's serving who? Amen. We're talking about submission. And we're talking about having the right attitude when it comes to the Christian attitude, our Christian attitude toward one another. Amen. Now maybe I need to talk a little bit about selfishness. Not all Christians in positions of authority have the mind of Christ. It's sad, and I know you don't want that to be so. I don't want that to be so, but it's true nonetheless. Some people have used the concept of submission and headship to lord it over other people. Isn't that right? And they'll pull a scripture out of its setting to do so. I remember having some back and forth with a couple that we lived next door to when we were at Rhema Bible Training Center, and he would always say, under the thumb. He'd look at his wife, then he'd step back. Yeah. He was saying it all in all good jesting, of course, you know. But you know what? There's some people like that. Yeah. And they try to use the Bible as a club to beat everyone else and get their way in life. And the truth is, it's just selfishness, plain and simple. Yeah. When we do this, we haven't learned this valuable thought that you can't earn respect by demanding it. Respect is earned by servanthood. Yeah. I remember an incident when I was young, and I made it clear that we were going to go my way. We were going to do it my way. I still lived. We're going to do it my way, and we did. And later, I had to admit that my wife was right. Man, that was hard to swallow. She was right. Yeah. I didn't win much respect in that day. And later, I had to ask forgiveness. And to my wife's credit, she accepted my apology and she forgave me. And in that sense, she was handling things far more maturely than I was. Yeah. And so, why was I like that? Well, I look back on it, I was immature. I was insecure. Yeah. Sometimes people are insecure. Sometimes people are confused, just plain confused what the Bible says. For example, a gentleman one time said to me that his wife had left him. I said, why? Why did she leave? Well, my wife thinks that I am controlling and that I'm trying to control her. And I said, do you? And he said, well, doesn't the Bible say that I'm supposed to rule over her? Quoting the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And so I had to tell him, that's not what the Bible is saying there. What the Bible is saying is because of sin, men will try to rule over their wives. And because of sin, women will try to usurp their husband's authority. Because of sin. Yeah. When Adam and Eve sinned, she and all the female children that were after her are going to be tempted to usurp the authority of their husband. And the husbands, their temptation will be to try to dominate. Yeah. And you want to know why that is? Sin. Sin in the heart. If you have the love of Jesus, you're not going to live a domineering life in the sense of trying to push everyone down. Yeah. Amen. Thankfully, Jesus came, right? And he provided salvation. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and our lives are restored. Praise the Lord. And we can carry out our God-ordained roles as leaders And at the same time, serve one another. Amen. Incidentally, that eliminates all competition. No competition anymore. Elaine is a lot better at some things than I am. It's taken me a long time to learn that. I'm pathetic when it comes to ordering a calendar. And if you come and ask me to do something, I got into trouble last spring because of it. I'm wanting to help. I'm wide open to help people. But I'll tell you what, if I tell you that I'll do something, please go to Elaine and say, Pastor's going to help me do this. This is what time I'm going to need him to be there. That would be very helpful to me. Yeah, because I'll just have to be everywhere at the same moment and just mess everything up. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Biblical guidelines. I want to give you some guidelines here. Paul made it clear that submission to other Christians should not be based on our impulses or our reactions, but they're to be based specifically in the authority of God and His Word. Amen. Now I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. You might want to turn there with me. I want you to notice it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Maybe that's the biggest problem that we don't see people with the right attitude in the church, is that they're not letting the word dwell in them richly. Yeah. Surely you know by now that letting the word dwell on you richly doesn't just mean you can quote 1,000 scriptures more than anybody else. It means you can obey 1,000 scriptures more than anyone else, all right? Yeah. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm bringing you to a point here. We're looking at guidelines, all right? No Christian has the right to request something of another Christian that's not based on the Word of God. That'll eliminate a lot of junk. Yeah. That'll eliminate a lot of junk. Yeah. When we're asked to violate the will of God, we must obey God rather than men. Amen? Now, when we resist because we're being asked to do something that's wrong, we must also do it with respect. I think of Paul the Apostle. When he was being confronted by the high priest, and I don't know if you've thought about this. Here is the great apostle of the New Testament dealing with the high priest of a covenant that has been replaced. Most people didn't know it had been replaced, okay? And yet the apostle Paul submitted himself to that high priest, and he quoted the scripture for his justification in doing so. Isn't that something? Yeah. And so what we're talking about here is an attitude. It's an attitude that should be in every Christian believer. It'll soften the hardest heart. There are Christians who are in authority who will continue to put pressure on us to violate the will of God. And when this happens, we've got to understand, we can't go against the scripture. Yeah. And if there's someone that's pushing you to do something that's against scripture, you have every right to speak the word. This is what the word says. And if need be, to call in the elders of the church and to gain their wisdom as well. Amen. This applies specifically to abusive husbands or people who are unethical or immoral. Amen. And in this sense, when something like this happens, our sister is viewed as a sister in Christ with rights that are given her from God. Amen. She has the biblical right. And those rights shouldn't be violated by her husband or anyone else, any other brother or sister. Okay? I had a situation come up where a sister called and her husband was pushing her to do something that she saw as very distasteful and not according to the scripture. And she asked me what I thought she should do. And I said to her, well, you can't go against the scripture. Well, I know, but what about the submission thing? And just as I showed you, our submission thing works in the context of the Word of God. Amen. No Christian is going to ask you to go against the will of God in your life. No true Christian. All right? And if somebody forces you or tries to force you, and you need help, then that's what the elders of the church are all about. Praise the Lord. And use them if you need to. Amen. We're talking about submission. Submission. In thinking about submission, maybe I ought to say this, that mutual submission must begin in the church. It begins with the leadership in the church. Paul was teaching that it must be modeled before all other members of the body of Christ. Amen. If there's contention or lack of harmony among the elders of the church, or contention and a lack of harmony between mom and dad, don't ever think that you can hide it from the kids. Right? And so this is an area where those of us in leadership have to display it, have to deal with one another with the right attitude. I'll tell you what, I got the greatest group of elders, praise the Lord. And they love the Word, and they'll challenge me on the Word. They've challenged me before. Yeah. But their attitude is wonderful. Yeah. That opens something up. That opens a freedom up. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I don't have any concern for this church if in an instance I can't be there. I don't have to worry about who's going to do what. Yeah. Now I lay things out. I don't want to drop things in Gary and Greg's lap all of a sudden. But you know what? If I had to be gone 30 minutes before church, I know, I am assured that things are going to go well and God is going to bless this congregation. Amen. Yeah. It might be a little nerve-wracking for them. But of course, because of this relationship that we have with one another of trust, amen. And again, it's got to be in the home, parents. You've got to demonstrate this for the kids. They've got to see a unity and a oneness between you and your husband. Praise the Lord. Amen. He that's greatest, we just read a few minutes ago, he that's greatest. I read this from another pastor. He said, I serve as senior pastor, and he names the church in Plano, Texas. I am also an elder and serve with 7 other godly men. Though I also serve as chairman of the board, I have purposely put myself under other men's authority. I have made myself accountable to them. But at the same time, I also serve with these men as equals. We make decisions. I work hard in not overriding opinions of others with my own. and I serve them at this level of leadership. However, men also look, these same men look to me as their leader. And they respect my opinions and listen to my recommendation. And with this arrangement, I operate in three different levels. First, I'm accountable to these men by choice. See, that's my attitude. You got it? Yeah. Second, I work with them as equals in decision making. And third, I'm their leader. The structure is in complete harmony with Jesus when he taught his disciples and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be very last. Let him be servant of all. Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. Again, Jesus is the one who modeled this. He was the Lord and their teacher and their master, and yet he took on the servant's robe and he washed his disciples' feet. Yeah. And to make this plan work effectively, a great deal depends on our attitude toward one another. Yeah. I just talked to you about a little attitude adjustment that I needed some years ago when Elaine brings out this sheet of paper. She'd been praying and she woke up one morning and started to draw this thing out, you know? And it was perfect. Not only was it perfect, but it fit the basic footprint of this building. Yeah. But my attitude was, see, I needed an attitude adjustment. My attitude was, I'm the head of the house. I know construction. Yeah. She don't know a foot from 2 feet. Yeah. Yeah. Someone's attitude had to be checked. It was mine. Amen. At this point, our motives and our methods have to blend in harmony. I'm talking about our elders here. I'm talking about husband and wife. You're going to have to blend your motives together. You're going to have to honor one another. Amen. Amen. And for anything to work effectively, your attitude is going to have to be right. Did you notice I didn't say the other person's attitude? You can't touch the other person's attitude. Your attitude is going to have to be right. Amen. The next thing I'd say about submission is all believers must clearly understand the teaching of the Scripture. So I'm going to give you a number of verses here. This is not only a directive for wives and children and employees, but for all members of the body of Christ. Everyone say all members.
All members.
Yeah, all members. So Samuel Luke may be called in the course of the church to submit to his sister. And if his attitude right, he will. Now that might be a little pull on him, I don't know. He's a young man, you know. Those young men, I'm talking about me, when I was a young man, there was some arrogance that needed to be whipped out of me. Yeah. God helped me, praise the Lord. I might just have an idea that Samuel Luke has a little bit of that, a little bit of his uncle in him too. Yeah. This is for all members of the body of Christ. And we got to realize it's possible for a husband to submit to his wife without giving up his headship. Amen. And for elders to submit to other members of the body of Christ without giving up their position of authority. And for parents to listen to their children without giving up their parental status. Or even employers to give their employees consideration without losing any respect. The key for all Christians is to develop the mind of Christ, of course. Amen? And so we're going to go through some verses. Let me go ahead and do this. Elders to the members of the body of Christ. Here we go. Elders to the members of the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. Now, I pulled out a prophecy. These are prophecies that have been spoken over Elaine and I. And so I wrote them down, prayed them out, prayed them through. I still pray them out and pray them through. I want you to understand, just I'm not exaggerating one iota when I said, as a young man, there was some arrogance in me. I was pure carico. You don't know what that means. Some do know what that means. Yeah. I was pure carico. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose Kozads might know what that means. Because we're flesh. That's exactly right, brother. Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate, so this is 1985. This is when the first door was cracked open to Elaine and I being anywhere other than at New Life. We were at New Life as associates. And here's what Gene and Sherry May, by the power of the Holy Spirit, said to us. There's a day that God's going to raise you up a pastor of people right now in the natural, and you don't really care for that type of ministry. I know that. You know it. You see, there's some things that have to be worked in you. Do you realize that church is what develops pastors? Not Bible school. Yeah. Church. Dealing with people. Loving people. Sacrificing for people. Yeah. Church. Some things got to be worked in you. There's some things that God is doing in your heart that aren't complete yet. There's a work in there. One day that work will be completed and God will be able to open up a ministry as a pastor after his own heart. As a shepherd who will not devour the flock, but rather heal. And one that will not fill his own belly at the expense of the sheep, but will rather minister unto the sheep and to be able to eat from the overflow. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Now see, the Apostle Paul said something similar. He said, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Eating from the overflow. Eating from the overflow. Didn't have a clue what that was all about. I sure know about it today. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, every true minister of the gospel knows about it. Because what it's talking about is the sacrifice of the elders for the flock. Yeah. I know men right now, and you were a part of praying for a gentleman that they had just signed on for a $3 million debt. The church was growing, and the building now was almost finished, and the associate pastor left, taking 100 of the money people in his church. Yeah. Don't think it doesn't happen. It does happen. Yeah. This pastor, you know what he did? He double mortgaged his home. Eating from the overflow. Yeah. Now most people would never know that about this pastor. Now, as a RMAI director, I see it all too often. I see pastors who bend over backwards for their church. Amen. And if they're a true pastor, they have a willingness to do so. All right? Yeah. And that's what this verse of scripture is talking about here. I heard a minister say one time that he guessed he went into the ministry because it was a because it was a, what was his words? Affluent lifestyle. First thing I thought about him at that moment was hireling. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's telling elders that you better check your motives. You better make sure that you're ministering and serving people out of love for Jesus Christ. Period. Over and out. Amen. And in doing that, there's always some kind of test. Did you know there's tests? Yeah. Amen. All right, I'm reading out of 1 Timothy chapter 5. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor. Now, double honor here is talking about more than just honoring. It's honor plus, all right? And it's talking, of course, about financial blessing as well. Amen. And I remember this little lady at the nursing home, and she came up to me after the service was over, and she handed me $3. She said, "I wanted you to have this." And I was just about to hand it back to her, and the Lord got very strong with me. He said, this is what he said, "No! That's her honor to me. That's her honor to me." Amen. So I quit looking at the offerings of the people in a natural way and started seeing what they really were. Praise the Lord. Do you know when our ushers collect all the tithes and the offerings? Amen. They go back and there's a certain amount of things that are naturally done. You know, you count the offering, but you want to know something? It's not about how much that was. This is the honor of the people to God. Our motives have to be right when it comes to money. Otherwise, there'll be some kind of test that will reveal it. Yeah. And a lot of people have failed those tests. A lot of people. Young men to older men. Here we go. Young men, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be subjective to those who are older. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Husbands to wives. Husband, love your wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Gave himself for her. Gave himself for her. Say it out loud. Gave himself for her. Yeah. Gave himself. I'll tell you what, in our generation today, we don't see a lot of giving himself. Yeah. Yeah. But notice this is the admonition of husbands to wives. Give yourself up for her. And then in verse 28 it says, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Colossians 3:19, husband, love your wife and do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. I want to say something about that. They're not the weaker partner. Actually, maybe a better thought about that weaker would be you treat fine china a certain way and you treat paper cups a certain way. Treat them as fine china. Yeah. And so he's giving us the idea of how valuable, how precious that they are to us. Amen. It goes on to say, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to the husband. In the same way, a husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. I'd say this, guys and girls, be the very best person you can be. Make yourself as attractive as you can be. But you know what? The issue is one of submission, one to the other. There are things that I owe Elaine. Yeah. Because she's my wife. There are things that she owes me. It happens to be a part of our submission, one to the other. Let me read wives to husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husband. Submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Now, verse 24 says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Titus 2:3, likewise teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled. I like that, don't you? To be self-controlled. I get real tickled when I see some of our younger children that are being trained by their mamas and their pops, you know. I won't tell you who I was watching, but I was watching one set of parents say to one of the girls, now close your legs. Sitting in the chairs here, close your legs, you know. She's having to be trained, what is proper, what is self-control, yeah. We train self-control in people, right? Mm-hmm. Excuse me just for a minute. Ooh. Amen. Now, where was I at? Oh, self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word. That was Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, this has got to be one of the mainstays, in my opinion, because of what it teaches both men and women. Let me turn there I've got my notes down there, but I want to turn there and just read the whole of that passage. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, won by the behavior of the wife. Amen. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That word fear is actually respect. Okay? Respect. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning and the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You know, we could really play with this verse of scripture. There have been times when Elaine has called me Lord. It went something like this. Lord! Yeah. She was actually talking to the Lord, you know. Yeah. But this aspect here is she had a great respect and honor to her husband. Okay? And that's what it's talking about. Well, let me go ahead and read. It doesn't stop there, does it? I said it doesn't stop there, does it? Likewise, you husbands. Now, what does that mean, Daniel? Now, I'm picking on Daniel because one day Daniel will be a husband. What does that mean, Daniel, the word likewise? What does that mean? The same. Everything that we just read about this lady, Sarah, everything that we just read about her is now going to be applied. It's now going to be applied to everything we've heard about the woman is going to be applied to the man. Yeah. Isn't that something? So likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor. So what's the issue? The sum is honor. Submission is honor. Parents to children. Ephesians 6 and 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4. Colossians 3:21. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Colossians 3:21. Children to parents. Now, parents to children. The issue is still honor, respect. Amen. Children to parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How many children know that verse? Do you know that verse? Yeah. For this is right. Honor your father. The honor is the same. You see it across the board, no matter what relationship we're in, we're still dealing with honor with one another. Amen. Masters or employers to servants, employees. Ephesians 6 and 9. Masters, treat your slaves the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know he is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Yeah, no favoritism. Colossians 4:1, masters, provide your slaves with what's right and fair, because you know that you have a master in heaven. Yes, amen. That's true. Now we're looking at this issue of honor. Amen. This issue of honor. We'll go one step further and then we'll stop. Christians to government officials. That's been a real particular hard one for me. Yeah. It really is. And I started having to learn that with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was a real catalyst to understanding what submission and honor was all about for me personally, all right? But now in Romans verse 13, it says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Did you notice the word must there? Yeah, must. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. That was verse 5. Verse 7. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says these words. Everyone must submit himself, or I just read that, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Did you see that? For the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God that will, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as the servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Amen. We're looking at every relationship that we have, and in all of it, our attitude must be infused with honor and submission. Yeah, a yielding. Amen. Well, let's pray. We'll stop there. I think I have one more teaching in this series, and then in a couple of weeks, we're going to start working on the will of God. The will of God. Amen. Thank you, Father, for reminding us what our duty is as Christians. And just as Jesus became a servant, rather than demanding his rights, he served. And as he spoke to his disciples, he taught them. He taught and taught us that if we want to be great in God's kingdom, we need to learn to be servant of all. May it be so in this congregation, in our midst, Lord. May we serve one another in your fear and respect. May our consideration not just be on our own self, Lord God, but may we be constantly looking and checking and acting in the place of good for our neighbors. Hallelujah. 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 We ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will apply these particular scriptures in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that when we're tempted not to do it, Lord, that your word will rise up in our heart, the standard and the banner, and Father God, that you will enable us to do good. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Well, we've got plenty of time for Sunday school. As a matter of fact, it's straight up 11 o'clock, praise the Lord. Yes, honey, babe? The ladies need to meet with Vonnie. Okay, and men, be reminded that Saturday is the men's breakfast. Go ahead and stand up, hug somebody, and you're dismissed.